Ball State University is now 2 weeks' distance from its last in-person traditional class meetings as President Jeffrey Mearns shifted the school to mostly virtual class meetings on the internet because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Since then, a lot has happened on campus, even though it resembles a ghost town. President Mearns joins us again, this time on the phone on Thursday night, as even IPR is operating remotely for the most part. President Mearns, welcome again.
Well, good evening, Stan. It's always good to be with you, even though we're not in the same place.
Yes, I am in my home studio, and you are in your office on campus as we speak here on Thursday night. So, again, thanks for your time. Ball State, with an enrollment of 22,500 or more, it's a large vessel. It can't really be stopped on a dime. Students were instructed to move back home or to somewhere else by this Sunday, and it appears that they have. So we have students that commute, students who take classes online, some who live in nearby off-campus housing, and then we have a capacity for around 6,600 students on campus in residence halls. Is that correct?
That's correct. Somewhere between 6,500 and 7,000.
So how many students do we have left on campus and why?
Well, we still have approximately 100 students who are still living in the residence halls. We're in the process of relocating all of those students to one of our buildings, to Studebaker East. Those are students who have extraordinary circumstances. They might be an international student who is not permitted to travel home. They might be a student who, for extraordinary circumstances, doesn't have a safe and healthy place to live, even if they're live here in Indiana or in the United States. So our residence hall staff did a wonderful job in working with our students to identify whether they had suitable places to go. And if not, we're going to continue to provide an opportunity for them to live in our residence halls. But that number has reduced from over 6,000 to only about 100 students right now.
Now, does that number include the Ball State apartments, Anthony and Scheidler?
It does not. So the married or graduate students who are living in our apartments are still able to live in those pursuant to those lease terms.
You decided this week to cancel spring commencement exercises because of the pandemic. What's the latest on that?
Well, so as I mentioned in the message that I sent out on Monday morning, I had held out hope that perhaps we could still have commencement as scheduled on May 2nd. But in light of the very strict orders that were coming from the county, as well as the state stay-at-home order and the continuing guidance from CDC, it became clear to me late last week and over the weekend that there was no realistic hope that we could have the commencement on Monday. So I sent out that message in an email to the university community about 9 o'clock on Monday morning. But as part of that message, we gave members of the community an opportunity to share their suggestions about how we can provide an alternative way to celebrate the success of our students with our faculty, staff, and most importantly, with their families and friends. What was very gratifying and encouraging to me is that within less than 24 or 36 hours, we had received 2,000 responses to that survey. And now, less than a week in, we've received approximately 3,500 responses. The clear majority of those responses are from graduating students or their family members. And so far, the clear preference of that important group is to have an actual ceremony in July. What we've heard from our students in the emails that I've received, as well as the comments that they were able to give in the survey, is our students and their families, our graduating students and their families, the graduating students want to have an opportunity to walk across the stage.
When would that commencement be able to be held in person? Have you heard anything from state officials along that line?
We haven't. And what the option that we offered to our graduating students was to have that alternative or rescheduled ceremony sometime or either at or around our July commencement, which is in the third week of July. So I'm hopeful that this crisis will abate and it will give us an opportunity to hold that commencement and to somehow incorporate our May graduates in that ceremony or around that same time. And I'm going to share information regularly about what I know, but I think we're going to hold off making a decision because I would hate to commit to that July date and then find out when we get to May that public health officials would not allow us to have that ceremony.
Last time you told our audience about the unique partnership with IU Health Ball Memorial Hospital four different areas of cooperation going on there. What has happened in the last week since we last spoke in regard to that cooperative agreement?
Well, now that we have been able to move out most of our students in the residence halls, we're presently preparing Elliott Hall for use by the hospital if they need that as space for overflow staff to rest during if there is a surge at the hospital.
And Elliott Hall is just down the street from the hospital, University Avenue.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. It is the residence hall that is immediately adjacent to the hospital. We think that will be suitable for their needs should those needs arise. But we also have other residence halls that we can make available. And our wonderful custodial staff are already working very quickly to clean any of the residence halls if they need them. Also, you may have heard that some of the Muncie firefighters needed to be quarantined as a result of being exposed to the virus. And while they didn't need our residence halls, they needed some supplies. So we promptly provided additional beds for those quarantined firefighters so that they could stay in separate private spaces in the fire station. But perhaps one of the more creative, innovative services that I've heard about is this from our staff in the costume shop in our theater Department of Theater and Dance. And the staff, as well as some students, are using the materials and supplies that they have in the costume shop to make masks that can be provided to the staff that are working in our local nursing homes. And we're hopeful that perhaps others on campus or in the community might want to assist those folks with helping to make more of those masks so that we can continue to support our healthcare providers wherever they work, whether it's in the hospital or in local nursing homes.
Any other notes you'd care to share with us here?
Well, I continue to be optimistic. We know that the challenge is not over. We know it may get worse before it gets better. But I receive emails from faculty, staff, and students on a regular basis. They are consistently respectful when they send those emails. They help and say, we know you're busy. We know you're doing your best. Expressions of gratitude give me, and I hope they give all of your listeners the strength and hope that we need, the support and encouragement that we need to overcome this challenge. And we will overcome this challenge.
President Mearns, thank you very much for being with us again, and good luck with everything.
Thank you, Stan, and have a good evening and a good weekend to all of your listeners.